This is the Clarion Report, watching, reporting and counteracting global terrorism.
Mary Svirsky, a very, very good morning. Thank you for chatting to us so early. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
So, of course, Friday afternoon, terrible attack in London. Unfortunately, two people that we know of confirmed dead in that attack. And the information that's starting to come out around the perpetrator, around the terrorist, is very, very concerning, because it certainly wasn't a surprise that he behaved this way, was it?
No, it wasn't at all. There were some very bizarre circumstances.
So what were they?
One of the things was that he had asked to be put in a de-radicalization program, which is so strange. And then, of course, I don't know if that was a ruse. We don't really know. But and he was out for a whole year after, you know, he was released for a whole year. And then he did this. And the other thing that was so crazy about it was that he was at a conference talking about the success of de-radicalization programs.
It sounds like something snapped then. You know, like that almost like they had, if it was genuine, that he had this sort of push and pull towards being pulled towards radicalization or terror on the one side, but not wanting to be that on the other. I mean, do we know if this is genuine, or were you saying we don't know?
Well, I'll play devil's advocate for a little bit. First of all, we don't know if he had, some kind of psychosis or not. For you and me, anybody who does these kind of things and carries out these kind of attacks is psychotic. But let's put that aside for a minute. Was this all a ruse, maybe? Because we know that in Europe, the system of justice is almost a revolving door. You know, we have in America much longer sentences for these kind of people. In Europe, look, he had a 16-year sentence. He was out in 6 years. He was monitored for a year, and then he did this. So was this all just a ruse to get himself out so that he could be a hero and, you know, quote unquote hero and do an attack like this? Or did he snap? We really don't know.
One thing I could say is that
what we've seen historically is that these de-radicalization programs just don't work. Either people aren't reachable through de-radicalization, or the programs aren't effective, and they're not addressing the real issues.
The fact that he was wearing this mock suicide vest surely indicates a lack of impulsivity. You know, if he just left this thing and went running through the streets with a kitchen knife, stabbing people.
Well, also, how many people carry those big kitchen knives with them either?
Right,
but you're right,
true.
Totally right. It does not sound like an impulsive act at all. But one thing that was a heart-rendering, you know, heartwarming about it was that how many of the prisoners jumped up to try to stop him. You know, these prisoners who had been in these programs, and even someone who happened to be there. I don't think that he was part of this program, this one of the guys, but he was a murderer who was on a furlough, a 24-hour furlough, and he was also one of the people that there were three people who tried to stop him.
What a crazy, strange event. And I mean, also the fact that it was on London Bridge, it's very, very symbolic as to where this took place.
I don't think the symbolism in this case, I don't think the symbolism is as much, because it was right next to this venue where he was. So he started stabbing people, and he probably ran out. But I think that this shows us that we're just being way too naive about these kind of people and the recidivism rate, and can they really be helped? Can they not? Or are we just have a lost generation of these type of people who became radicalized?
Do they have any sense of the numbers?
No, there isn't really a big sense of the numbers. But one thing we do know about him was he was connected to Amjad Chowdhury's group. And I don't know if you're familiar with his group and who he is, but he is someone who is this radical preacher. He's kind of like the father of all of these people in the UK. And they finally got him on something and put him in prison for a while. He's already been released, but all of the people who, almost all of the terrorists and his followers went to join ISIS or did something. And so we know that he was this terrorist was connected there. So I think it's really naive to say that something just snapped. That's not what I think happened. I think that this was planned. And I think that this whole thing about getting out of prison and saying he wants to go in this de-radicalization program, he knew that he would get out much earlier if he said all those things.
Do you accept ISIS taking responsibility? I mean, ISIS did take responsibility, but do you think that there's validity in that, or are they just being opportunistic?
They do like to be opportunistic. There was a while when we were, you know, kind of believing them because they wouldn't take responsibility for things that they actually didn't do. But now I think, you know, with them dispersed and everything, it's kind of a free for all. So I would kind of take that with a grain of salt. But what really is ISIS now? ISIS is really just an ideology. And so because they don't have a caliphate anymore, they do have, you know, pockets where they have control, especially in Afghanistan and Southeast Asia, and one little pocket still left in the Syria-Iraq region. But really, I think when we talk about ISIS in our day and age, we should talk about it as being an ideology. So in that sense, yes, this is
the ideology
to wreak havoc on the West.
Do you think that's a very, very interesting point that you make, is that ISIS has become ideological rather than an organized group?
Is that right? And you know, they constantly have media that puts out these things of encouraging their followers. You know, the West might call it lone wolf acts, but these are not lone wolf acts. They've got a whole cyber structure behind them. You know, they might not have a physical infrastructure, but the ideological warfare that's happening on the internet with ISIS and the support that they get to, you know, go out and carry out these kind of attacks and even instructions how to do it. This stuff is very real.
I think that was, unfortunately, I think that's a legacy that Obama left the world after his presidency. This whole concept of this lone wolf, and that the structures weren't there. It was just one person, which, as you've correctly, I think, pointed out, it's all part of a system. It's part of an education. It's part of a system that feeds this type of person with radical intentions.
Right. I think that it's part, you know, it's something that we have to really wake up to. It's part of a system created by our technological prowess in the 21st century. And as we know, you know, anything can be used for the good and for the bad. And we have to learn how to harness it and use it for the good without taking away people's civil rights, you know, in terms of clamping down with censorship and things like that. But that's why we at Clarion, we have a program called Preventing Violent Extremism as opposed to Countering Violent Extremism. Because once they're already radicalized, as we see, it's very, very hard to counter them. We try to get people before they get into the radicalization.
So how does that work? What does that entail?
So we have seminars, and we go to different groups. They could be groups of law enforcement agency. They could be parent groups. They could be school psychologists. And we teach them how to look for the signs of kids that might be vulnerable to these kind of groups, especially on the internet, and how to keep these kids from being radicalized.
And
so we're trying to get it, you know, a few steps before it happens.
And that's where there's more success in prevention, you're saying, than trying to counter it once it's already that far down the line.
Right. That's what we've seen. I mean, we also have an intelligence network in America that works with police and FBI and gives information about people that have already become radicalized and are, you know, putting all this stuff out. You know, the stuff that we work with is all open source information. And so it's just that the police and the FBI, they don't have the resources to be combing through the internet. But that's how you see that a lot of these attacks are prevented. I just read a statistic yesterday that said that 79% of the attacks are prevented because they're caught. So these people, in a way, they're very stupid because they put out all of their plans and things on social media because that's the cool thing to do.
Right.
But they also get caught from doing that. But we also know, you know, just in terms of when I say ISIS now is an ideology, that we can't win this war without being able to stamp out this ideology, just like, you know, the defeat of Nazism and just like the defeat of communism, there has to be a defeat on the ideological war front.
Absolutely right, Mira Sversky. That's where we leave it. Thank you for your very, very interesting input. And I would encourage our listeners to go and look at the Clarion Project website.